Today's lesson is God's Will for Me, Walking in Wisdom, Part 2. And we're going to look at seeking wise counsel, following your passions and gifts, and appreciating God's providence. So we're going to look at those things today. Remember, we've talked about how God's will isn't a riddle wrapped up in a mystery inside of enigma, right? That's not how God works. He's not trying to hide things from us and keep us from knowing things. And we don't need to try to figure those things out, look for signs, and discover His will for us in that way. But really, God's will is focused on His glory and our good, right? He wants us to worship Him, to love Him, to follow Him, and then to be sanctified, to die to sin, and to live to righteousness. So that's what He cares most about. That's what He's concerned about in His will for us. And the little details, honestly, if we can look at them, as we'll see today, and both or three or four are great, that's okay. We can choose whichever one, and it's not a problem. God's not saying, oh, I'm disappointed you didn't choose door B instead of door D, right? So He does care about those things. He provides help for us, and the way that He does that is through wisdom. And we're going to look at more ways to kind of gain wisdom. We looked at Scripture yesterday. Yeah, that was so long ago. Yesterday. To discover that's God's primary way of communicating to us, to teach us His ways, to teach us what He would want for us, is through His Word. But we also saw that that comes through prayer as well. But today we're going to look at another way, and it's through wise counsel. So God works through wise counsel, and... We might have time for that. I don't really know how today's going to go. Because I have so many stories. So stories, like I just write one line, I have no idea how long those stories will go. So we'll see if we have time for actually looking at Psalm 25, which is awesome. If not, too bad. You can just read it later. But we're going to look at wise counsel. First of all, we talked about what the definitions of wisdom and foolishness were, right? And remember, wisdom is knowing God and obeying and following Him, right? And foolishness is ignoring God and following our own devices, right? And so foolishness can be really summed up in not seeking counsel from God, but we also want to seek counsel from other people who are spiritually mature. And so Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice," right? That it's pretty clear. If you read over and over, like that's probably one of the most common things that the book of Proverbs tells us, is that wise people seek counsel. So wisdom is knowing. Yeah, we did that. Okay, so get counsel. That's what this next verse says. 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. See, I just Google searched. Probably that word. Oh, I almost forgot. Oh, this was the funny part. Oh, pause. We didn't talk about anything weird there. All right. I don't know why I talked to the thing. All right. Seek counsel. Here's another one. 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. The reason why this is so important is because generally our lives lack wise counsel. We actually instead are influenced by a lot of things that give us bad advice and bad morals and bad examples. For example, I have heard rap music at one point in my life, and the things that those songs promote and the way of thinking, the mindset that they have, is bad. And it's not Christian, and we like listen to it and like that beat dropping and stuff. But ultimately, like, it shapes us, even if we think it doesn't. It shapes how we think. It shapes the categories we use when we think about things. TV, movies, social media, all those things change us little by little, and we can't realize it. It's kind of imperceptible, and you'd be like, no, it doesn't, I just like the beat. And I'm like, yeah, but you know every single word of that song, and you think about that song and sing. That's what comes to mind when you think about this or that, right? So those things erode our resistance to sin, and so we need influence from something else, from wise people, from wise counsel instead. Kind of, who did the sandcastle contest? Anybody in here do the sandcastle? Nice. Did you go back? You're like, yeah. Oh, wait, no, I didn't. Is that what you... Okay. You're like, yeah. No one else. Did you go see your sandcastle today? Is it still there? Oh, that's so surprising. I mean, you guys spent so much time on it. You built it really well, right? It has a good foundation, right? Over time, the waves erode it, right? None of your sandcastles will survive. No matter how much time you spent on them, even if you built them like far away from the water, it's going to get washed away. It's going to get blown away, right? And so the influence of those types of things in our lives are like the waves. No matter how well you think you're doing at preserving those things, you're going to get eroded. You're going to get knocked down because we become dull to sin. We don't recognize it. We don't think it's a big deal anymore. So, like, if all you hear is that message, like, do whatever you want, and if it feels good, do it, and blah, 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 whatever the rap song says, you're going to be influenced by that, even if you don't think so. So we need wise counsel to counteract that. That's why, ultimately, like, we're grounded in God's Word, but since we're talking about wise counsel, make sure that it's wise counsel. Notice it's not just any counsel. Your friends are dumb, and they'll tell you what you want to hear most of the time. Like, not, I mean, don't, okay, you're all going to be, like, revolting against me in your minds. You're like, you don't know my friends. That's the guy speaking. But the point is, like, your friends are your age, have the same influences, same mindset generally. That's why you're your friends, because you like them and you guys enjoy spending time together. So generally, for the most part, your friends are going to say to you what you want to hear. It's very rare that you have a friend who's like, oh, you're doing that? Let me tell you why that's a really bad idea and unwise. Okay, you're really far from God in this decision, right? Your friends don't tell you that very often. And if they do, that's a real friend, because Proverbs also says the wounds of a friend can be trusted. But most of the time, we don't have that type of friendship, so we need to seek advice from wise counsel. And generally, that comes from people like me. Now, generally, we need to find spiritually mature people. That, fortunately, for most of you, is your parents. But probably in your age, you're not thinking, I'm going to go talk to my parents about this problem. So sometimes we seek counsel from other people, and like our youth pastors or youth leaders or other people like that we know love us and care about us, but also love God more and want the best for us, not just to make our lives like what we want. I was thinking about how this worked in my life. When I was a kid in high school and middle school, I had a youth pastor, and he was awesome. He was there the whole time I was in middle school, the whole time I was in high school, and he was actually there. I interned for him for 3 years in college, too. And for sure, more than anybody else, had like the impact on me to be like a youth pastor. And it was just cool because, like, over time, we built up a relationship where, like, he would just be like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just sitting at home. He'd be like, hey, let's go grab a Coke. And we would go to Sam's Club for some reason, and we'd always get slushies, like Coke slushies there, because he was addicted, I think. And we'd jump in his like Jeep Wrangler and just like drive around town talking, or we'd go to his porch and just like sit on the swing out front or on the steps. And we would talk for a long time, and he was really great. I wish I was this good. Just about talking about life, and I would like say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about this or this, and he'd be like, oh, let's talk about that. And you know, maybe that's not a great idea. And it was just awesome to have somebody in my life who cared about me that way, who was giving me wise instruction, who wasn't my parents, because that's awkward sometimes. But you should be more prone to talking to your parents, too, anyway. That's not the next page. Actually, it is. All right. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that So his wife, though, was even just as influential, even though it wasn't her job. Like, we'd have small group at our house. We call them, like, cell groups or something. I don't know if you guys had those from the 90s. Tell your youth pastor. Sorry, all the youth pastors hate me now. But we would, like, we'd get done with small groups, and we'd, like, go sit in her kitchen, and I would just sit on the counter, and we'd talk, and, like, she was the one who always was like, so tell me about the girls and all that stuff. And it was great to have that type of person to get advice and know that they were godly counsel, that, you know, they steered me clear of things a lot of times. And I knew I was accountable to them. They wouldn't just be like, oh, that's great that you're dating that non-Christian girl. That's fun. So she seems nice. So seek wise counsel. That's a great way to walk in wisdom. Another thing we need to do to walk in wisdom is use our passions and our gifts. God's given to you. So let's look at hopefully the right verse here. Yeah, Psalm 139:13. We looked at this before, right? We talked about how God has a plan for you that stretches through all of your life, but it begins from the beginning and how He forms you, right? He created your inmost being. The very core of who you are was created by God. He knows and made you for a reason. And we'll talk in a really cool way about that in a minute. But what excites you, what stirs you, what you want to talk about all the time, those things are gifts from God, your passions. And He wants you to use those things. And they're great indications of what God might have for you. If you like love science, maybe God gave that to you for a reason. You know, you shouldn't maybe think, oh, I should probably be an artist, even though I don't like art or know how to draw. Right? He's given you passions and skills and abilities for a reason, and you should listen to that. It's not random that he's done that. But this is a good disclaimer, and I have two examples so that you recognize this disclaimer. Don't outrun your abilities with your passions. What that means is, if you love music and you just like singing and stuff, but you are a terrible singer, don't think God's called me to be a musician and a singer, right? Or maybe you could be a musician and play instruments but never get behind a microphone. So you can have an outlet for it, but not be a total failure. That's so embarrassing when people are like, this is God's calling for me. And you're like, no, it's not. But also don't let your failure in something end your passion in it, right? God can use your passion for another purpose. An example of this from my life. When I was young, I say this a lot because I'm feeling old this week. I like can't see my neck today. When I was young, I loved basketball. Like, I would play out in the driveway at my house like all the time. I'd pretend I was Michael Jordan. He's a basketball player. And, he was like LeBron James, but actually good. And you know where I stand. I would play like all the time. And my parents would be like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be a basketball player. And they're like, well, that's wonderful, but your dad's only 5'8". And I'm 5'8", my mom said. She's like, maybe you're not going to be tall enough to be a basketball player. I was like, whatever, Mom, I'm going to be awesome. Right? But then I realized the wisdom in her counsel that focusing all my attention on basketball would have been a waste of time. There aren't a lot of 5'11", white, vertically challenged point guards in the NBA. And so sometimes we have a passion that we're not built for exercising all the time, but I love basketball, and God has used that in a number of ways in my life to, like, as part of, like, his plan for me. Like, when I was in seminary, I coached basketball, and that's how I, like, made enough money to literally get enough food for bread and hot dogs one year. So I coached basketball, and it was awesome. And I ended up doing that, and it got me, like, another job and another job at that school, which was so cool that God used that passion that I have for basketball, love for it, for my good. But even then, like, even now, like, there's nothing better than, like, going and playing games with guys. Like, that's, like, my favorite thing to do. So God uses that passion, but maybe not being an NBA point guard, right? So if you have a passion, maybe God will find an outlet for that, and it might be part of his plan, but he might be closing other doors for you by not giving you 6'3 and super chiseled body. So another story. This is a real story that's very near and dear to my heart. And oh, if I cry, I probably won't. But if I do, just know I cry really easily. So I'm sorry. But when I was in college, I was pre-med chemistry. So I was like, God gave me this gift for doing chemistry, and I loved it. I had a great teacher in high school. So I was just like, yeah, pre-med chemistry. I love kids. I want to be a pediatrician. So cool, right? And maybe part of that, there was a motivation. I wanted people to think I was smart and stuff. But mostly I, like, just love people, and I love helping people, and I love science. I was like, this is a great outlet. But I was taking all these classes, and if you know anything about those classes, they can be a little hard and can be a little boring, where you're, like, sitting in a lab for hours, like, watching numbers and stuff. And so I was like, I was doing fine, so it's not like I was failing or something. But I was doing great in these classes, but I was like, these are kind of boring. Like, it's not stirring my soul. So I was like, I'm going to walk across the street. So I was at Kansas State. And across the street, literally, was this little Christian college called Manhattan Christian College. And I was like, I'm just going to walk over there and see what they have. So I, like, walked over, and I was like, I would like to take a class here. She's like, oh, how about Intro to New Testament or Intro to Old Testament? I was like, no. I was like, I'm way past that. I was like, I'm going to take Greek. And they're like, okay. So I, like, signed up for Greek class at this little college. And little did I know that God would use that professor and God would use that class to change the trajectory of my life. At the end of, so it was a year-long first year, right? I ended up taking a second year. But at the end of the first year, we're sitting there in class, and we had a big project, right, the last week, or last couple of weeks, and it was to write a commentary on Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And so I was like in the library, that was a little library, and I'm in there like reading and like finding these books. And it was so much fun, like making copies and highlighting and circling things. And I'm like writing this beautifully elegant slash probably terrible commentary on Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And just loved it, like dived into that. That was like all I did that week, right? And so I like come in, I've got this 6-page paper. No, that's probably not long enough. It's probably like 10 or 12 pages. I'm so proud of it. Drop it on his desk, you know. We sit down for class and he is like, great, you know, let's talk about this. And so he begins talking about Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And in the process of it, he highlights two things that when I was doing the paper, I highlighted too. I was like, this is so cool. Look what Paul's doing. So open your Bibles up to Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. If you have them, if you don't, I'm sorry I didn't print that one off for you. But you're probably familiar with some parts of this passage, but the part I'm going to highlight is probably not as familiar. So in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, Paul is writing with the purpose of showing like how our salvation occurs, and it's by grace through faith, right? That's the key verse. It's not from something we do. But the way he begins and the way he ends this passage is really fascinating. He says in verse 1, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." So he said, you used to walk in that way. You used to follow Satan. That's the way you lived. But then skip down to verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Once we've been saved by his grace, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him, and this is the kicker, that we should walk in them. And so the beautiful part of this passage that like came alive to me in this study and while Mr. DeLort was teaching was that we used to walk in one way, but now because of the grace of God and we have salvation, we're called to walk in another way that God's prepared for us from the beginning. We're called to live for him. And like he told this amazing story. I don't have time for it today, but it was just amazing. It was a perfect picture of like how we should walk. And we shouldn't be ashamed, but take pride in the fact that the way we walk for Christ, the way we live for him, is different from the world, is different from the way we used to walk, because it's the way that saves us. And so he said that, and I was like literally like just collapsed under the weight of what he taught. I like walked out, and I was just like crying, because I cry easily. I cried all the way home, walking home, right? And I was like, this is amazing. And I like began to think that really what God was giving me a passion for was teaching his word. And I wanted to be able to take a passage like I'd read this before, you know, a million times probably as a Christian, but in studying it, opening up in a way that I'd never seen before. And it transformed my life. And from that week, I think I went and changed my major. I was like, I'm going to go to seminary. So why sit in a chemistry lab all the time? I'm going to go do something easier so I can just go to seminary. So I took history and more Greek classes and stuff. So anyway, the point of that is, though, is that sometimes God uses situations like that in our lives to reveal really what our true heart's passions are. And like, I probably would have been fine being a doctor. I don't think it would have been wrong. But God showed me that like I'm going to wake up every day excited to teach God's word because of what it has done for me and how it's challenged me. So there you go. That was that page. Good. So we want to be transformed by the power of the gospel. And when we have the opportunity to do that, we can see God's plan for us. So seek wise counsel and then follow your passions and gifts. Those are good guidance of what God is maybe calling you to do. But now let's look at some fun things, some examples, the process for how to do this because, oh yeah, there's one more slide. That's right. All right. Because we come to a decision and we need to decide what we're going to do. So kind of a process for doing that. We need to look, first of all, is this an issue? So this is the kicker. Like this is how you're going to make good decisions now. Is this an issue of right and wrong? Right? Is this a moral thing? Next, we need to look at our motives. Are they mixed? Are they impure? Is that what's really behind why I'm choosing A versus B? Is my decision based on faith, or is my decision based on fear and pride? Fear / pride or pride, whatever. Oh my goodness, you're right. I'll repeat them. So, is it an issue of right or wrong? What are my motives? Are they mixed or impure? Is it based on faith or fear and pride? And finally, have I prayed? Have I prayed about it? And what do wise counselors think? So we've talked about all those different things, right, so far. So it's not anything new. It's just helping you think through, like, when you come up with a decision, how I should approach it, right? So let's look at the story of when I got married. Because like I told you, I made lots of errors in dating, right? I chose to date people sometimes for the wrong reasons. I would date them for like 2 weeks and be like, why am I dating this person? And then dump them, and that was probably bad. It's true. Savage. But when I met Mary, this is really cool. I met Mary, and she... Should I tell you that part of the story? So she dated my best friend. And it was really serious. And they had like, but they were like a hurricane and a volcano, right? Isn't that the rap song? You don't know what I'm talking about because you're too young. But it's, they were not a good mix, but they dated and were like, and it was bad. So anyway, I came along and didn't know. Like I went to seminary. Mary's a little bit older than me, like a year older than me. It's just, but I took a year after college, so I was actually 2 years behind her and my friend. And so I didn't know their, like, contentious relationship and all the things that happened. And so I, like, come in, I'm like, doo-doo-doo. But I was dating this other girl. And so I was, like, just friend goggles with Mary for a long time. And we, like, tutored her in Greek because I had Greek for 2 years in college. And we ended up being in the same Greek class. So I, like, tutored her and a couple of my friends. Anyway, so I just had friend goggles on. And then this girl dumped me, which is tough. And I was in depression for a while because I put a lot of value in what girls thought of me. And then, long story short, I was talking to a friend of mine. He came down. He's like, why don't you date Mary? And I was like, why don't I date Mary? I was like, she's awesome. So then I had dating goggles on. And like we ended up spending time together. But it was cool because God used a friendship beforehand to really have a good foundation where, like, I got to know her and not thinking, like, oh, she's just somebody I should date. But, like, we were just friends and hanging out, and it was great. But then, like, it allowed me to kind of know who she was and to see, like, her character, to see her love for God. I mean, she was at seminary, so that's good. And she was just awesome. And so we just had a great time together. And this is not telling you what to do. We dated for a month, and then we were like, we should get married. And so... But the reason I made that decision, don't do this. She came, it was spring break, and she came to see my family. And we were like, this makes sense. Like, this isn't fast. We get it. And she came to see my family, met them, and it was great. But the real key, this is the wise counsel part, right? We're talking about, there's not a moral problem here. It's very a wise decision. She's an awesome person. But then it was good to have external confirmation because sometimes I dated people that I shouldn't have, right? And so she came and met my family and my sister. This is weird. My younger sister, she was the one that really, like, helped me see, yeah, this makes sense. Because my sister had always been really, like, standoffish and didn't like any of the girls I brought home. And so when I brought home Mary, I was like, oh, let's see how she thinks of it. And she, like, they, like, got along great. And they were, like, really close and they talked all the time. And I was like, huh, all right. Got my family's approval, you know, and so it was good confirmation because my family cares about me. They want the best for me, and so to see that, I was like, okay, this is all I needed. And so we talked about getting married, like, on the way home, and I, like, sold my organs to get enough money for a ring, and pretty close, and scraped that together, and we got engaged and married, and, like, it's awesome. But a lot of times, though, we really worry about if this person's the one for us, if this is the right person. We, like, might be dating somebody, but we're always thinking, is this the right person? Maybe there's somebody better for me. And it's true, like, from God's perspective, there is the one, right? He's providentially ordained all these things together, but it's not for us to know that. And so, ultimately, from our perspective, there isn't the one. There are a lot of different wise, good decisions that we could make, and our job is to be the right person in that relationship and wisely choose who we're dating. So this is a really important... Oh, there's our video. I don't know if it's going to play. We'll see. Okay, so basically I realized that all I do is give you 80s movies, and you haven't seen them. This is Back to the Future. three movies I've seen more than any: Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, and Superman 2. So I don't know why, but this movie had a huge impact on me, and so I love this part. And boys, this is to you. Don't tell people that God said you're supposed to date this person. Here you go. This is. If a guy says, hey, I'm your density, my density has brought me to you, it's not the right guy. And even if he says destiny or God has brought him to you, don't do that, guys. That's dumb. And it's assigning to God something that we've seen this week, that's not how God works, typically. And girls, if a guy does that, don't believe him. Run the other way. He's going to be like George McFly. So... I love the way he talks. He like whispers. It's so creepy. So don't do that. But girls and guys, I suppose this applies. Don't blame God if you don't want to date somebody, or if you're in a relationship and want to break up with them. Don't say, God really just needs to teach me some things. And no, I need to get closer. I need to get closer to God now, not you. Right. Just tell them, like, be like, no, this isn't right. You know, just don't like you or whatever. I know that's hard. But it's way better than blaming God for your decision, right or wrong. So anyway, those are just a couple quick notes that I wanted to say about wisdom and dating. But now we're going to look at some more examples, because the reason you're here is you have thoughts in your own life with what God wants from me. We're going to look at some big ones, but kind of just talk through the process. Oh, wait, where did I really want to do that part.
Maybe too early.
Oh, yeah. So God's at work. I have no idea why, but I really love this story because it shows from our perspective how it seems, but really what God's perspective is. So this is from Ruth chapter 2. It's not a book about dating, but there's a really cool part in here where you see God's provision. And oh, that's probably what it is. It's probably when I talk later about that. Never mind. We'll just save that. That makes sense. I don't know. We'll save that. All right.
Sorry, guys. It's a random day.
Okay, so let's talk about some examples, because you guys all have a lot. I couldn't possibly look at every decision you have to make and walk you through that. I mean, if you want to, I guess my free day today. But let's look at like college. Just think, I'm thinking about where I should go to college. That's probably some of you. You'll all probably at least have that type of thought. Maybe, am I supposed to go to college or not? So is college a moral decision? See, we're going to walk through the process. Is college a moral decision for me? Most of the time, college is not a moral decision. God could care less which college you choose. It's fine. But sometimes we choose colleges for the wrong reason. Because maybe I know that the University of Georgia is a party school. I want to go there because I'll be able to party. And my parents won't be able to see. And I'll have the college experience for a few years, and then I'll be serious about God or something, right? That is a moral decision, and sometimes that's our motivation for choosing where we're going. We want to be away. We want to live something like, I went to a Christian school all my whole life, and now I just want to see what the world has or something. Like, let's be honest, that happens sometimes. Maybe some of you in this room have thought that. So that is a moral decision. But most of the time, where we go to college isn't. So how are we going to pick between state and you? What if we have mixed or impure motives? Think about fear and pride, right? What are some of the ways that fear and pride could come into our decision for how we choose college? Yeah.
Maybe if like your family really supports this one college, and you're like, you're going out there just so they would be proud of you.
Yeah, you're choosing something just because you kind of feel like you have to. Yeah. Yeah, that might be a fear of like confronting your parents' expectations and having like an open conversation with your parents, right? Disappointment, yeah. What else? What else might be a fear or pride issue in how we choose our college that shows that we have mixed motives. Yeah.
You want people to think you're really smart, so you only go to one college.
Yeah, exactly. You want people to be impressed with you. So, who cares if this school costs $50,000 a year and my parents die in debt? I'm going to go there because it is going to look cool to have Harvard U on my sweater. Yeah. You can get that sweater without going to Harvard. Yeah. Yeah.
Like your whole life, you think you're like really smart, and you go somewhere and you realize you're not missing.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you could be afraid that you aren't going to be able to do it, and so maybe I just shouldn't go to college because it's going to be hard. Or you could like get there and be like, I shouldn't be here because I'm only getting C average and not A's, and I'm supposed to get A's. I'm super smart. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to go where your brother and sister are. You want to blaze your own trail, but that means you have to tell mom and dad that you're not doing that. And they're like, no, this is the only school. So my dad, literally, he told my sister, so I went to Kansas State. My dad loves Kansas State. He went there. And he told my sister he wouldn't pay for her to go to KU. And so she, because she is a rebellious child, she went to KU and said, yeah, right, Dad. And he didn't pay for it. He didn't give any money to the school. We're going to face difficulties sometimes. Yeah, and we're afraid of that. Or sometimes we're afraid not to go to that place, right? I went to Kansas State because I wanted to, but also my older sister was there, and I was like, this will be nice to have family nearby. So I was kind of afraid of not having somebody to lean back on. Yeah, that's good. Yeah?
Yeah, like location, like where you are compared to like where your family is and things like that.
Yeah. It can be hard to move far away, and that can be a fear, but maybe that place is the right place for you. Maybe their educational system, maybe it's a Christian college or something, and it's the right place that God's calling you for because he's preparing you for something at that place, but it's hard because we fear that decision. Yeah, that's great. Any other thoughts about how fear or pride can play into our college decisions?
Wanting to make sure they have the best program for what you want to study.
Yeah, make sure it's the best, because we always want the best because we're the best. Yeah, that's a pride thing, yeah. Cool. Great. So let's say we analyzed all of our motives, and, you know, for all these three schools we're looking at, they're fine. We don't have mixed motives. Like, we all want to go there for perfectly pure motives. And now we think, is this a wise decision? And when I say wise, this means just like a rationally good decision. Are they really waiting? What, is this 10? Is that the time we get done? Okay, quickly. Wise. Oh, yeah, because I had to tell you that extra story. No, I didn't. Wise, finances. Should I go to this $40,000 a year school, even though my parents work three jobs and slave away, and I've never worked a summer in my life and haven't saved up any money? Yeah, because I want to get an underwater basket weaving job. Right? No, that's not a wise, financially smart decision, right? But sometimes we do that. We don't even think. We're not like, huh, what's the burden that this is going to put on my parents? What's the burden that this is going to put on me for decades to come if I go to Harvard and it's $55,000 a year school? You know, just saying, if you go to Harvard, that's awesome. Maybe we think we're supposed to go to college because everyone is and we're supposed to, and that's what we do next. But maybe that's not what God's call is for us. Maybe there's something we're supposed to do. Maybe we choose, is it wise for us to go to a school, to go to Georgia, when we know that we give in to peer pressure? Sorry, anybody who wants to go to Georgia. I've never been there. I don't even know where it is. We choose going to Georgia because is this a wise decision to go to Georgia where everybody parties and it's a party school, but we have trouble giving in to peer pressure, but we want to join a fraternity or sorority where we know they party all the time? Like, those are wise decisions. I mean, it's not bad. You could join a fraternity and be a great example for Christ there. Join a sorority and really get a lot of Bible studies going or whatever. But if that's going to be a struggle for you, that's not a wise decision necessarily, right? You see how this works? So you have to weigh those types of decisions. Either one, it could be right or wrong, but it might not be the best decision for you because it could lead you to sin. It could be really hard for you in that situation. All right. Acting out in faith. Are you acting out in faith? When I went to seminary, I worked for a year, so I had some money, but I had literally no money. And so making that decision, my parents weren't going to be able to help me. I had to say, like, is this a really smart decision? Well, this is what God's calling me to, so I'm going to follow him in faith, even if I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. And God provided, as I was going to tell you about God's provision, God provided for me in amazing ways, like through coaching basketball, led me to tutoring these guys, which led me to becoming a teacher at their school. And I had a job that paid all of our needs. I got married, then I ended up working at a church, and I ended up working at a church even more, and now I work at another church. Like, so you see this providential care of God, but you don't know it ahead of time. But when you look back, you say, God took care of me because I walked in faith into that decision, even if it was going to be hard. Have I prayed? Have I really spent time asking God to give me counsel, to give me guidance? And then what did other people say, right? Did people say, Mike, you are a terrible teacher and you aren't funny. You shouldn't do this, right? Okay, actually, I failed. I had to drop out of speech class because I'm so bad at speech. So that could have been a sign that maybe I shouldn't have been. But other people said, no, I think it's just because you get really nervous, as you can tell. You get really nervous, but it's okay. Like, God will be able to work through that. So there you go. That's kind of college. Maybe what you're going to do for your life. Choosing your career, right? Your major. A moral thing? Am I going Breaking Bad, right? That would be a moral decision, right? Is that right to make whatever that methamphetamine? No. So don't do that. But most of the time, what we choose to do in our career isn't a moral decision. So is it wise? Are we doing it because we're afraid? Are we doing it because of pride? Right? Am I doing this because it's easy? Like, you know, I'm not going to say that. Am I choosing this career because I want to make a lot of money? I want to be a doctor because I want to get some fat stacks, you know, or whatever. Am I choosing this out of faith, like missions? Maybe God's calling you to missions, but that's scary. And if that's the reason you're not going, maybe God really is calling you to missions. You need to exercise faith in that, or ministry or something, right? And just fit my passions, my gifting. I remember when I told my grandma that I was going to be a pastor, she was like, I was changing my major from going to med school to going to seminary. She's like, you know, doctors make a lot more money than pastors. And I was like, yeah. But it showed that that's how our hearts think, right? So it was good. That's not wise counsel. Sorry, Grandma. Cool. And dating. Is it right or wrong for you to date? That's, you can talk to your parents and your youth pastors about that. But ultimately, is this guy a good person? Is this girl a good person to be with? Is this guy a believer or not? Those are the moral issues in dating, right? That we definitely want to address. But also, why? So they have different standards than you. Like, if you really, really love God and really want to follow him, they're a Christian but don't, that might not be a wise decision. It's maybe not wrong, but probably not wise. Are they difficult to be around? Maybe you shouldn't date them. That's not a wise person. Are you dating them out of mixed or impure motives, right? Out of pride or fear? Are you overlooking issues? Oops. Because you're afraid or something. Who does that? And are you acting out in faith in that? Trusting God that, you know, you could marry a couple different people and that's okay. And just trusting God that this relationship that God's given me to this beautiful, wonderful, amazing person, I should just have faith that this is the person that God's calling me to marry. What does wise counsel say? Good. So that's all. I'm over time, and I hope that through this craziness that you have learned that God really does have a plan for you and he wants what's best for you. So we need to seek him out and trust him in it, exercising wisdom and faith in that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for these guys and these girls. Father, I ask for your blessing on them. May they know your ways. May they walk in them. May they know the great things that you have prepared for them beforehand, that they can walk in them. Father, we thank you that you care about every detail. May we trust your love and your care for us. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. See you guys. Bye. Thank you.